And that is so important. Why? Because we live in a society where children and adults are starving for value, starving for relationships, starving for affection.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. The Bible has a lot to say about the tongue, that slippery little thing in our mouth that is so hard to control. Proverbs says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to show us that people are starving for words of encouragement, something you and I can give them every day. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Chapped Lips.
We're continuing in our series called God's Home Remedies, and today we're going to talk about choosing right words. Choosing right words, and how important that is in God's blessings. Now, how many of you have chosen poor words sometimes only to realize its consequences later? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you have emailed poor words and pushed send before you should have? How many of you have texted and pushed send way before you should have? Yeah, let me tell you a very awkward story of texting. Now, I want you to know something about these things. I am convinced that the spell checker on iPhones are demon-possessed. They are vulgar, it's immoral, and uncouth. And if you misspell a word, it takes upon itself the license to slander you, destroy you. And I am convinced that Siri is behind this conspiracy. Let me tell you a story of what happened. We had the privilege of hosting over 1,500, nearly 2,000 pastors now that come through our Hawaii Leadership Practicum held here at the church. I take 70 at a time. We spend a week together. And then they go back. Now, one year, about 3.5 years ago, after the roof collapse, I had so many irons in the fire, we pushed the pause button for a year on the practicum. And so then we started it up again later. And when we did, there were some pastors from Australia very excited because they were looking forward to come. So much so that one pastor texted me and said, "We are so excited, we're bringing 20 Australian pastors to this practicum, just from Australia, 20 of them. And I said, "Wow, that's great." So I texted him back, and he had a big group, you know, message with all of the pastors on it. So I said, "That's great." And I texted this to him. I said, "I don't want this to be just another conference. I want it to be a spiritual experience, and that it will be." Well, when you misspell something, there's a demonic activity that clicks into gear. And I misspelled spiritual. And so instead of saying, "This won't be a normal conference," we want it to be a spiritual experience for you. And that word spiritual, because it was misspelled, turned into sexual. So I don't want this to be a normal conference. I want it to be a sexual experience. And so confident of my words, I hit send, and then I proofread as it was sending. First mistake, never push send and then proofread. You proofread first and then push send. Because once you push send, it's like launching a rocket. You cannot unlaunch the rocket. And I hit send, and I see this little line going across that says sending, and I look down and I thought, "Oh no." I said another word besides no. And I said, "Oh no." And you can't stop it, right? Stop! Stop! And whoosh. No! And you just don't know what to do. But I mean, it was so awkward because I'm sending it to Aussie pastors. Now, they'll take something, they'll hold it against you the rest of your life, but the Australian people. Japan people, you make a mistake. "It's all right, no worry, no shimpai nai. I forgive you right away, forgive you." Australian pastors, yes. So they got something to use against you in court. And so I thought, what am I gonna do? Immediately responses started to come back. But it turned out good because after I sent that out, that has to have been the greatest response to any practicum we've ever had from Australia. They invited friends and non-Christians started coming. I had pastors lining up on a waiting list. Words unwisely chosen. But let me tell you how words can not only be dangerous, but they can heal if chosen wisely. My mother was a single mom and raised four of us children up in Palolo Valley. When I was about 6 years old in the first grade, I got very, very sick. And my mother was a waitress at the Flamingo restaurant. She would come home with pockets bulging with change or tips, and that's how we bought groceries. Well, if she didn't go to work, we didn't have groceries. Well, because we didn't have a babysitter or a nanny, when I got sick, my mom decided to stay home from work for 3 days just to take care of me. And at that time, I didn't realize that she was actually foregoing tips that our family would need to live on. But she stayed home with me, and I was very dehydrated as well. Well, after about 3 days, I started feeling a little better. And she would just feed me soup and take care of me. And about the third day, she looked at me and she said, "Honey, you look so pale and so peaked. We need to get you in the sun." So she loaded me into her 51 Chevy and drove me down to Ala Moana. Now, if you know anything about the park, there's a pond right in the middle where people have little model boats that they kind of race or run in there, and these little engines. And I used to love just sitting there watching them go around and around in the pond. So my mother knew that, so she took me down there, spread a goza mat on the ground, and put me there. And I was watching it and still feeling very weak when she looked at me. She says, "Honey, let me look at you. Come here." And so I looked at her, and she looked at my lips. She said, your lips are so chapped. They're starting to bleed." And so she rummaged through her purse as if looking for chapstick and not finding any. She looked back at me. She said, "Come close. Come close." So I came close, she grabbed my head like this, she gave me a big old kiss on my lips. And when she was done, the lipstick that was on hers transferred to mine. And then she took her finger and spread it out on my lips like this. And she said, "There, honey, that will help you heal." And it really works, by the way. It really does. The only problem was everyone was looking at me really funny for the rest of the day, because my mom's color was crimson red. But I've never forgotten that. How words can hurt and words can heal. Today we want to talk about choosing right words. The Bible talks about that. Proverbs 24, it'll come up on the screen. He says, "He kisses the lips who gives a right answer." In other words, when you choose words correctly, it can bring healing. And it's like a kiss, and that's not just what the world defines as a kiss, and it could be lusty or it could be a puppy love. This, the word kiss in the New Testament, comes from the word phileo, is the word for friend. And so a kiss is to somehow give value as a friend would to another, to embrace, to say you're accepted, we're one, our hearts are connected, we're good, to restore relationship. And the Bible speaks much about it. Now, God, for some reason, is wanting us to realize that words are very important. In our world today, words are cheap. They're used and thrown around. If you go onto the internet and you Google it and you say, "How many words are there in the internet?" It'd be trillions to the 24th power. That's just an innumerable amount of words. And they're cheap. They're squandered. Who cares? It's used in any way that we want to. But God is saying, no, words are more important than you realize. And the adversary would try to get you to think that words aren't that big of a deal. But words can give someone a future or steal it from them. Words. In fact, all of creation began with four words. Let there be light. God could have snapped his fingers and started it all. God could have waved his hand and started it all. But instead, he chose words, almost to communicate to us that words have the power to create or the power to disseminate. And he began it with words. And today he's saying, will you choose them wisely? Because by the way you steward your words, your life will be judged. In fact, let's read it here, Matthew chapter 12. Would you read it? Go. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be... You think God thinks words are important? But you see, we live in a society where it's not that important. We throw it around like waste paper. And God is saying, that's a lie from hell. In fact, the Bible is even called the what of God? The Word of God. Very important that he created creation and started the moons and stars and sun and earth and planets moving in rhythm and cadence with four words. He chose words. And they're so powerful that we even find this in the book of Proverbs. Would you read this with me? Go. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death or life. It all depends on what words you choose. A great example of choosing right words is found in the book of Luke. Remember the prodigal son and his father? The prodigal son was a belligerent young man. Thought he was entitled to everything he could see. And so he said, give me what's mine. And in a huff, he took off, left with as much money as he could garner. And then he began to squander it. He didn't have the discipline to handle it anyway. He squandered it all. And after a while, he realized that he couldn't buy any food. Being so hungry, he began to sneak around looking for something to eat when he came upon a farm, and a farmer had just taken out the leftovers from that past day's dinner and lunch and breakfast, poured it into a pig trough, when this young man snuck up to the trough and began to rummage through the remains looking for remnants to eat. He was at the lowest of his low, wasn't he? And at that moment, the Bible says he came to his senses. Like, what have I done? Then he realized, he said, wait a minute. My father's hired men have more to eat than I have. Then he changed his mind. You know, I've been proud. I've not been willing to ask for help. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back home and I'm going to say to my father, and he rehearses his speech. I'm going to go to my father and say, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But please make me as one of your hired servants. That's good enough for me. And then he changed directions and headed home. Some of you might be here because you've been at a trough. You've hit the skids. Things have not been good. But there's a reason for that. A friend of mine said it like this. He said, Wayne, never despise anything that God uses to bring you home to himself again. It could be a trough. It could be the skids. It could be a financial setback, a physical setback. But what God is doing is bringing you home. Never despise anything that takes you to your knees. Now, at that point, you can feed yourself on slop and say, well, this is how God's treating me, then forget it. Or you can change your mind and start to turn around. If you're there, change your mind. By the way, did you know the word repentance is a Greek word metanoos or metanoia? The word to repent, metanoia, is the word meta, which is change, and noos is your mind. So you know what the word repent is? To change your mind. If that's the way she's going to be, forget it. Now change your mind. Stop. Well, if that's the way God's going to treat me, forget it. I'm not going to follow. No, change your mind about that. I'm not going to ask for help. You need counsel, not me. Change your mind. I ain't going to church. Change your mind. And once you do, things begin to change for you. Once you change your mind about God and you stop and say, whatever God wants me to do to get my life and my ways right with him, from this moment on, everything starts to change in the eternities for you. But Wayne, you don't know how far I am from God. Yeah, it'll take time for you to get back. But listen, you won't change your destination overnight. Because you may be way off course right now, but you can change your direction overnight. Because once that young man changed his direction, watch what happens. He starts heading home. And I want you to take a look at the scripture, the response of the prodigal son's father. But it says, while he was still what? A long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran out and embraced him and kissed him. I want you to know that as soon as you change your mind about God and start moving towards him, the Father sees you from a long way off. God sees you even when you're a long way off, and he's running to you right now. The beauty of that, when we change our mind, God sees that. And some of you have come to church because you feel, well, I've been a long way off, and I've hit the skids, but I'm going to change my mind. I've got to get my life right. Can I just say to you, welcome home, because the Father delights in you, and he saw you a long way off, and now he's running to embrace you. Well, his son comes up to his father and says, and he starts his rehearsed message, his rehearsed speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as a hired man. The father stops him short, turns to the servants and says, bring out the best robe. Bring out a ring, put it on his finger, put sandals on his feet. For my son, who was lost, is found. And he embraced him, kissed him. You know what that means? It was like he whispered into his ear and said, everything you thought you lost, you still have. Because this is what I wanted. You see, there's the beauty of choosing right words that restores people's futures, restores hope to people. And if you're one of those prodigal sons, welcome home. But let me say something to the others of us. God is looking high and low for men and women who will have hearts like the prodigal son's father, so that this place can become a people who speak blessing and restore futures to people's lives. Because there's prodigals coming home. And if we choose right words, we can lay out, as it were, a red carpet for these who are coming back. And they will feel again their future restored. The New Testament speaks about the word kiss, and basically it means to reestablish value. We hug a lot around here, and I tell people at New Hope, we hug everything within 10 feet, chairs, pulpits, doesn't matter. And we just hug because one of the things that God wants us to do is to start off with an embrace that reestablishes relationship and value regardless of what has happened during the week. That's why the scripture says in the book of Corinthians, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Not a lusty one or what the world would define as. No, it's just restore value every time you see someone. Every time someone comes in here, restore that value, that relationship. What you thought you lost, you haven't. You're welcomed here. And that is so important. Why? Because we live in a society where children and adults are starving for value, starving for relationships, starving for affection. Some time ago, there was a study done on prostitutes and women that have had multiple births outside of marriage and gone from relationship to relationship, very unsteady. And after talking with these women for a while, the psychologists realized that the reason they lived this pattern of lifestyle was they found that almost all of these women in their earlier years were starving for affection and a holy embrace and couldn't get it from their own father or parents. And so they would search outside the home. And even though they knew it was a counterfeit embrace, they took it anyway because they were starving and so desperate. They would even take a counterfeit that was about to destroy their lives. See, we live in a society where words steal people's futures. Isn't that true? Poorly spoken words destroy kids' futures. some time ago, I went to the Ala Moana Shopping Center, and I took my journal with me, and I just wanted to hear what people said spontaneously, you know, at random, to hear how they address one another. So I just kind of went to in the middle where people kind of sit, where the stage area is, and I made believe I was just writing in my journal, but in actuality, I was listening and writing down what people were saying to one another to see how we use or misuse words. Let me give you just a couple that I heard within the first hour. The guy sitting right here with his young boy, and father turned to his son and said, "You might as well dump that geometry stuff. It's only for smart kids." I thought, oh, that will make him feel real good. And then another one, lady turned to her daughter and said, "You better find someone who can take care of you, because you sure aren't going to be able to take care of yourself." And then this one was quite a doozy. I wrote this one down. A mother turned to her daughter and said, "You'll be sorry when I'm in my coffin, because you'll be the one that put me there." I thought, well, that'll make a nice start for the day. But that weekend, I was upstairs in our Sunday school. And by the way, I just want you to know, our Sunday school is the best in the world. Our people that you see wear children art shirts, they are fabulous. Please, when you see them, tell them thank you, because they truly love our kids. I walked around up there listening to what they were saying. And one girl was helping the teacher clean a table. And I heard this lady say to the young kid, she said this, "You are such a good helper. I've seen you take the initiative to help me clean tables several times. Can I just pause and say thank you?" And this little girl's grin was bigger than her head. All you saw was teeth. Another mom said to this little girl, she was talking to her friend, and when she was done, the mom said, "You have such a sensitive spirit. Did you know that? You're going to end up helping hundreds and hundreds of people one day." Do you see how she's giving future? She's giving the value of serving God to this child through well-chosen words. It's like a blessing. Another lady was walking down the hallway and said to this person passing by, she stopped and said, "You know, you always remind me of Jesus." Isn't that great? I didn't want to admit that I was the one she was talking to, but I wasn't. No, I'm just lying. But in the Old Testament, did you know that these blessings were so important to children that kids would line up to receive a word? And these people that were giving were mostly parents. And this was called people of the blessing. And it was just well-chosen words that gave future to these children, that spoke to them about what they were going to be and the bright future that lay ahead and the rays of hope and the gifts that God had given to them, that you're going to develop that and it's going to be fruitful. And these kids would actually line up. In fact, I found this book, and it's about Jewish family life. It's actually written in 1602. And I pulled out two sentences, just two, to tell you how important these well-chosen words were for the blessing. And here it is. It says this: "Before the child can walk, they should be carried on the Sabbath day and the holy days to their father and mother to receive a blessing. And after the children are able to walk, they should go on their own accord to their father and mother on the Sabbath days and holy days with heads bowed to receive their blessings." I thought, boy, that's absent today. We don't do that. You're in the malls and you listen. Words are spoken that steal futures. But God is saying, choose words rightly, because you don't realize how important words are. The scripture tells us the importance of choosing right words. And God's going to bless you just like he did Abraham, in order that you will bless others. God's going to speak to you when you're reading the Bible, and you're going to receive a good word like, "Wow, that's so good. Thank you, God. Oh yeah, it's for you, but it's not only for you. I want you to give that away."
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Chapped Lips by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said. Your words can assign value to a person and forever change the course of their life. Use your words wisely today. Now, this is Del Gibbs saying, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.